Let us ask the Lord to open our minds and our hearts, that as we journey together in the next few minutes, we may be able to learn what the Lord is saying to us. Amen. So you might notice I'm moving around. The first week I was up there, and the second week I was over here, the third week I'm here. I'm going to chance one week, and if it's bad, I might be out the back door, so I've got to, or the front door, so I'm moving slowly in case you get rid of me. Paul's letter today to the Corinthians is a fabulous, fabulous message. And he compares the human body to the church, to the body of Christ. Just a few facts you may not know. That in the human body, there are 206 bones, to which some of you may feel some of them, 639 muscles, and some of those we might feel, 6 pounds of skin, there's ligaments, there's cartilages, there's veins, there's arteries, there's blood, there's fat, and all of that takes up the body. And we know that when the body is working together, it's a great day. And we know that when we can feel our knee or our elbow is sore, or we have a headache, or we have a toothache, the whole body knows. Not only does our body know, but the people we live with, they also know. So there's implications. And so, the body of Christ. We've all been baptized. And in that baptism, we have undergone a transformation. And we have become members of God's family. We have become members of the Christian community. And at that time, each of us has been given gifts. Now, I don't know about you, but I like gifts. Anytime somebody brings me a gift and it's wrapped up, I pay attention. Many years ago, when I was in charge of a parish in Merritt, BC, I had gone to England. And while I was in England, I purchased a present for my parents. And it was quite a large box, and it was going to be heavy. So I said, send it by surface mail. And about 3 months later, this big parcel came. The guy came up in the truck, and I put it by the front door where I lived, just because there was a spot there. And every time someone would come to visit me, they'd say, oh, what's in the box? I said, it's a gift. Oh, yeah. Who's the gift for? Not for me. Oh, do you know what's in the gift? I do. Well, why haven't you opened it? Because it's not for me. And this went on for about 3 months. I was going crazy. Every time somebody came in, they said, is that box for you? Has your name on it? That's true. But I said, whatever is in this box, once I take it out, I'm never going to get it back in. And so it was a present for my family, and they were going to come and visit me at Christmas. So I wanted to be ready, and I wanted to have it wrapped up, and I wanted them to have the responsibility of having to unpack the gift. But I didn't think that one little gift could cause so much discussion. Each of us has been given gifts, some that we know, some we haven't discovered yet. And every one of us in the church has responsibility. When we are baptized, there are no picking and choosing, well, I'm going to sit out this round. We're all obligated to work. Those who have been given much, much is expected, and we've all been given much. So the gifts are varied. Some have the gift for preaching, some for teaching, some for healing, some for cleaning up, some for making tea, some for organizing, some for doing the books. But we need everyone. And if we don't have everyone, like the human body, it's not going to work. So we have to kind of call forth the gifts from one another to see the people that we live with and say, did you ever think you might have the gift or the ability to read? I gave this sermon one place and I used the example. A husband said to his wife, did you ever think you'd have the gift to preach? She said, I've been preaching to you for 30 years and it has no effect whatsoever. So she said, that's not my gift, obviously, you know. So we all have to decide what is the gift that we have. Number two, We belong to a community. And a community is a mystery. I, for many years, belonged to a religious community where we had 25 men. And that was a very challenging, interesting time. For those who've lived in community, you would share that. Because you have people you might not necessarily normally deal with in your ordinary life. You might have people who are downright strange. You might have people who you don't like the way they make the cup of tea. And so we are here together as the Church of St. John the Divine. And we are a community, for better or for worse. And part of our identity is a community. And because a community is made up of human beings, we're going to have, from time to time, moments when we like what's going on and we don't like what's going on. We're going to be unhappy. We're going to grumble from time to time. You know, in the tea room there, they've just changed from Nabob to Tetley. Oh, and we get all upset and we phone our friends and say, this is awful. Or they're going to paint one of the walls, or they're going to change the lights. Or as Bill referred to this morning, we're having a bit of a change now in the way we go to communion. Whatever it happens to be, in community, we're all challenged. We don't like the sound system. We can't hear the people. We don't like the fact that there's a service at 8 o'clock. Why isn't it later? So it doesn't matter what it is, from time to time, we all have things we don't like. And we have to figure out, how do we live with that? Because when you live in a family, when you live in a community, there has to be ways in which we live together without criticizing each other, without putting each other down, without backstabbing people. Quite often, as I move around, I hear in various groups, people don't like certain things, and they start to murmur. They start to phone each other, and they start to talk very quietly because they don't want anybody to know that they're not happy. They're really unhappy, but they don't want anybody to know, so they whisper. You know, they're doing this. What are they doing now? What's going on here? You know, I could be doing it much better. I don't understand all this, you know. And that happens in every community. And that's not a bad thing that we don't like everything, because that causes us to want to change. But the secret ingredient of living in a community is we have to be able to say, how do we live with each other, whether it's a big hurt, we felt rejected, or whether it's a small ouchie and we're feeling hurt? How do we deal with one another? And one of the ways we can deal with one another is by a little formula that I've suggested to people from time to time, and it's called PEP. Praise, evaluate, praise. So if I'm going to go in and talk to somebody, one of the wardens, or somebody, one of the priests, or somebody that I want to talk to, and I'm mad, the first thing we do is we stop and we say, how can I praise our parish? How can I praise the individual? Then secondly, how can I evaluate? How can I get things to be better? Not to say it's rotten, it's miserable, it was much better before you ever came. I don't know why you came, I don't know why you stay. You know, all those things. So instead of doing that, we do the praise. We find something good to say. Doesn't mean we can't have observations. We could say, you know, I think what we're doing is good, but it could be a little better. That's better than saying it's rotten, you know. So praise, evaluate, and then praise. That also works in families, by the way. Also works with spouses. But it works particularly in a Christian community, how we praise, evaluate, and praise. And it's good to remember that little thing, just from time to time, so that when we are upset and we're unhappy, we can revert to that. The other thing we learned today about the reading from Paul and the gifts is that we are a community of hospitality. We reach out to people. A true story, it happened last week. And absolutely no blame I'm going to be. Everybody was fabulous and everybody was good. Perhaps we could have done a little better, but everybody was good. So last week, I was sitting where I usually sit, and there was somebody, a couple, sitting in front of me. And for whatever reason, I either had a sense or I observed, but I thought they weren't from here. So I said, good morning, are you people from here? No, we're from Thunder Bay, Ontario. Well, I said, well, welcome to St. John the Divine. thank you very much. So in the course of the conversation a little bit, they said, so far we like it here. And that was only the beginning, we hadn't started. And I said, well, just wait, you haven't heard the sermon, the guy, but anyways. So anyways, I think this is the truth. They said, we've been to two other Anglican parishes, which will remain unnamed, unless you really want to know. For $10, I'll tell you after the sermon. Okay. But the other two parishes, and they named them, and I said, oh, that parish. Oh. And they said, nobody spoke to us. Not hello, goodbye, who are you? Do you have an envelope? How long are you staying? And it made me think how important hospitality is. We're always on deck. We always need to be observant. We always need to be inviting people to come and join us. I've got 3 minutes left. So we have to think and say, how are we as a Eucharistic people, as a baptized people, as a Christian community, able to reach out, to support, and to invite people? And we just don't invite people we know. We invite people sometimes who are going to make us feel uncomfortable, who are not our kind, not our ilk. They don't like what we do. I mean, there are actually some people who, when they're having a cup of tea, do not put the milk in first. You know, I don't understand how that can happen. I mean, I just, you know, it's not possible, but there are people who do that, you know. And we pray for those people, and they'll eventually be converted. So I wanted to end today with something that I found very profound and very good. If you have heard this, please indulge me. And if you haven't heard it, please listen very carefully. So this is on the outside of Coventry Cathedral in England, that lovely, lovely cathedral in Coventry that was bombed during the war, is now the center of peace and reconciliation, to which thousands of people all over the world come to visit. And they like to be a welcoming community. And I don't normally read stuff, but this is what they said, so please listen. We extend a special welcome to those who are single, married, divorced, widowed, straight, gay, confused, well-heeled, or down at the heel. We especially welcome wailing babies and exciting toddlers. We welcome you whether you can sing like Pavarotti or just growl quietly to yourself. You're welcome here if you are just browsing, just woken up, or just got out of prison. We don't care if you're more Christian than the Archbishop of Canterbury or haven't been to church since Christmas 10 years ago. We extend a special welcome to those who are over 60 but not grown up yet, and to teenagers who are growing up too fast. We welcome keep fit mums, soccer dads, starving artists, tree huggers, latte sippers, vegetarians, and junk food eaters. We welcome those who are in recovery or still addicted. We welcome you if you're having problems, are down in the dumps, or you don't like organized religion. We're not that keen on it either. We offer welcome to those who think that the earth is flat, that work too hard, and that can't spell. Or you might be here because your granny is visiting and you wanted to come to the cathedral to show it off. We welcome those of you who are inked, pierced, both, or neither. We offer a special welcome to those who could use a prayer right now, had religion shoved down their throat as kids, or got lost on the ring road and here by mistake. We welcome pilgrims, tourists, seekers, doubters, and you. So in the spirit of hospitality, I invite you to think of these people and see if we can each bring one of these next week.